Welcome to the True Condos Podcast with Andrew LaFleur, the place to get the truth on the Toronto condo market and condo investing in Toronto.
All right, it's my pleasure to welcome once again back to the show, Sean Hildebrand of Urban Nation. Sean is a senior vice president there at Urban Nation, and happy to have you again on the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and always good to chat and hear your take on the market. I don't know if anybody knows the condo market better than you, because this is what you do every day. So let's talk about the latest report that you guys have put out last week, the Q1 rental report. The results are in from the first quarter. But let's set some context before we do that, because as you said in your email that you sent out with the report, there's been a lot of chatter in the media and from the government and about the current state of the housing market, of course, in general, but specifically the current state of the rental market. And we've had a few stories of tenants who say their rents have been increased by 100%. And this is causing great consternation and gnashing of teeth, as it were, at Queen's Park. So are rents in Toronto going up by 100% a year?
No, not at all. And I think that was kind of the message behind the latest data that we released. Rents are growing quicker than they historically have, but by no means are they doubling, as some of these stories have suggested. Our data showed that on average, condo apartments leased through the MLS system in the first quarter grew by just over 8% in terms of average rents year over year. So it's above average for sure, but it also marks a slowdown from the rate of growth that was recorded in the fourth quarter of 2016, which was at an annual increase of closer to 12%. So the market is showing a bit of moderation, and that really has to do with some increases in supply via the new condos that have come to completion over the past 6 months. So this additional supply has helped to slow down the rate of increase in rents, created a little bit more balance in the marketplace. We saw the average days on market go up a bit. We measure the percentage of units that are being leased for over asking rent, and that came down quite a bit. In the fourth quarter of 2016, close to 20% of all units were leased for above asking price, whereas in the first quarter it was less than 10%. So the market is sort of self-stabilizing, I would say, and I think that's a trend that's going to continue over the next few years. There's still quite a few condo apartments that are under construction and will come to completion over the 3 year period. And that's really where most of the new rental supply comes from. We are experiencing higher levels of purpose-built rental development as well, which will kind of help to temper rent growth in the next few years. But I think still we're going to be relying mostly on growth in the condo sector to come in and keep kind of a moderate pace of rent growth. So we're expecting that that trend is going to continue, and we're not going to be seeing, double-digit rates of increase for condo rents, and certainly not 100% growth in condo rents, as is suggested by a couple of these isolated stories.
So you're saying we don't have a rental housing crisis in Toronto?
Well, I mean, in terms of crisis, I would say that the market is undersupplied for sure. Rent growth at 8% is well above normal. When you look at same sample rent growth, which kind of looks at the same sample of buildings in both periods and excludes the impact of new units coming into the marketplace, the annual rate of growth was 5%. So it's not nearly as high as suggested by the headline number. But it certainly is growing faster than, I would say, obviously, the general rate of inflation. And historical average growth of around 3% or so. So it does suggest that the market is tight for sure, but I don't think it's reflective of massive rent increases that are being passed on to tenants from overly aggressive landlords.
So, and just to recap, I mean, these particular stories, like what's your, in explaining what is actually happening, these stories we hear of where rents are going up by 100% for the odd, you know, tenant here and there that has notified the media and written a story about it. Like, how do you explain that particular situation? I mean, obviously you don't know the specific details of it, but what is actually happening there in reality?
Yeah, we don't know the individual circumstances behind each of these outlandish increases. But what we try to do is put it into context. Yes, rents are growing faster than normal, but they are not growing by that extent across the widespread market. If you look at rent growth, even just over the past few years, it's sort of growing from a pace that was pretty much neutral for a good period of time. So the headlines didn't come out when rents were flat for a few years between 2013 and 2015. During that period of time, our statistics were showing that rents were pretty much not growing for a period of 3 years. Now they're starting to grow, but coming off of a very flat period, so the rate of increase is exaggerated. But when you average out rents over the past 3, 4, 5 year period, they've only really been growing at an annual pace of still about 3%, even capturing this latest increase in rent. So I don't think that the market has seen excessive growth in rent. And if you compare rent growth to housing price growth, really rents are rising at a fraction of what's happening in the ownership market right now. So the market for rents has been much more stable. The increase that we saw in 2016 was, I would consider, a short-term deviation away from a longer-term trend of really a modest pace of rent growth.
Right.
Right. So I don't know if you've been involved with the discussions with the government or if they've consulted you or your firm at all and what's happening in the market. What is your feeling or what is your thoughts on what do you think the government is going to do? Everybody's wondering, and the government's dropping all sorts of hints, but they're not telling us any specifics as to what they may or may not actually do to affect the housing market and the rental market specifically. Just wondering what your thoughts are on what the government, what you think the government may do. And then sort of a second part to that question, specifically with all your clients who are in the purpose-built rental side, what are the purpose-built rental developers, what's their take on the situation as well, and what's their message to the government?
Well, I think the messaging that's come out thus far from the provincial government in particular is that they feel that there is some sort of need to introduce regulation as it relates to rent growth. And my feeling is that this is in direct response to a few news articles that got a lot of media attention, as you referenced earlier, without looking at the full context of what's happening across the broader rental market. So I think that's an issue. I don't know exactly what sort of regulation will come in. Probably rent control at some sort of magnitude will be introduced, but I don't know if there's going to be an exemption for new units that are being built during a certain period of time, or whether the cap is going to be at inflation or inflation plus a percentage bump above that. I really don't know. But the messaging that's come out has been fairly clear that some sort of regulation is probably on the way. I don't think that it's necessarily justified. Sure, as I mentioned, rents are accelerating, but for the most part, they've basically been rising in line or just slightly above inflation. So this is, after several years of happening, has brought the market to a point where starting to make sense finally for purpose-built developers to come in and introduce new supply through new construction. So, you know, what's most important for them is being able to hit that initial rent. So they're looking at the rents that are being achieved in new condo apartment projects in the city, and they're plugging those into their pro formas, and they're seeing that the numbers are starting to make sense. If they're able to lease up at the same rates or slightly above the rates that are being achieved by new buildings today, then it's going to start to make more sense to start to build. I don't think that they're anticipating huge increases in rents, but at the same time, if they know that they're only going to be able to increase their rents by inflation, then they're probably going to start to think twice about moving ahead with these projects. Or they'll switch gears and you know, maybe proceed as a condo project or position the product differently so they're able to achieve a higher initial rent than they otherwise would. So, you know, the conversations that we've had with those that are planning to build purpose-built development projects is that rent control wouldn't necessarily be a killer for their projects, but if it's sort of introduced in conjunction with an incentive to help make the economics more feasible for them, which would be, you know, increased density, perhaps lower taxes, interest-free loans or something like that for a period, something that would help mitigate that increased regulation from rent control could help make the project feasible. If the rent control came in as it applies right now to the buildings that have been constructed before 1991, which is basically the rate inflation, then I think a lot of them would probably put their projects on a shelf. But if they take an example of, you know, say Vancouver, where rents are able to rise at inflation plus 2 percentage points, plus the percentage of the increase in operating expenses, then I think it provides a balance for the developers and the tenants to offer some sort of protection in them knowing that their rents aren't going to double, but also, you know, providing some realistic guidelines for developers to be able to grow their revenue.
Right, right. That's really interesting. Just to hear again, this is a perspective that I feel like it needs to get out there. And people are we're not hearing from the people who are, you know, investing hundreds of millions of dollars into purpose-built rentals about what their expectations are on the market. I mean, these, like you said, they're not coming into these markets thinking, you know, just rubbing greedy little hands like some cartoon character, like, you know, I just can't wait to raise my rents every year by 100% or something like that. It's just really unfortunate that one or two stories has taken hold of the headlines and of people's understanding of the rental market when it's just complete distortion of what's actually happening. Especially, like you said, just look at the numbers over. Forget about this quarter and last quarter. Just look at the rest of the numbers over the last 5 years, and you quickly see that the rental market is like you said, it's appreciating, you know, just a little bit above inflation. Like, it's nothing even remotely close to what is happening in the low rise housing market, where you've had double digit increases year after year after year after year.
That's right. And if anything, you know, we should be encouraging developers to add supply in some sort of way. And it seems right now that the best way to do that is through purpose-built rental development. And we've been tracking a growing pipeline of projects that are proposed for development. It's up around 30,000 units right now. Only about 30% of those are actually approved. So I think we need to get those approval numbers up. And I think we need some clear indication from the government about which way they're going to be moving with respect to regulating the market. It's particularly concerning that we've seen purpose-built rental construction actually decline over the past 12 months. Since the beginning of 2016, we've only seen about 1,000 units start construction. It might sound like a lot, but it's actually below levels that we've seen over the past decade, which were in and of themselves low numbers, kind of ranging between 1,000 and 2,000 units a year. So the fact that we have this growing supply pipeline of proposals but construction starts are starting to drop off, suggests to me that we're going to be looking at an even more severe supply situation in a few years' time. I don't think we can rely on condos to continue to supply the market as they have. Like, you know as well as I do, that new launch activity, particularly in the core, where most of the rental supply comes from, has dropped off dramatically. New project launches for condos in the former city of Toronto dropped by 40% last year. So there's about a five-year time lag between project launch and completion. So by the time we get to 2021, 2022, we're going to be faced with a dramatic pullback in condo apartment deliveries. And it's at that point in time that we need to start to see purpose-built rental development pick up. So the fact that the government is looking to impede that by implementing some sort of a regulation that would cause developers to think twice or perhaps not go ahead at all with their rental development projects is concerning, because I think it's short-sighted in the fact that, we just have come to expect that the market will be supplied by individual condo investors. And I think the numbers are showing that, look, you know, these launch volumes have dropped off a lot, even though there's a lot of units under construction right now. In a few years' time, that inventory is going to be greatly diminished. And if you think that vacancy rates and supply is low now, just wait, 5 years from now and see what happens if we don't start to see purposeful rental development pick up.
Hmm. Very interesting. Yeah, again, understanding the bigger picture and understanding that the decisions we make today have an effect 3, 4, 5 years out. Shifting gears, Sean, to the actual rental report and looking at the data itself, I'm wondering what, in terms of trends, like speaking about trends in the rental market, like if you could highlight one or two things for us perhaps from the report in terms of, maybe think about it like this: what are some of the existing trends that you're seeing continuing in the data? And are there any new trends or new things to watch moving forward? Maybe it's particular areas, particular unit types, increasing or decreasing in popularity, this kind of thing. So are there any existing trends that you're seeing continue in the data? Are there any new trends that you've seen pop up in this latest report?
I think the clearest trends that we've seen is the emergence of a strong rental market in the 905. A lot of activity happening in the suburban market, and projects getting rent levels that were surprising to us in a lot of cases, not only through condos, but even some of the newer purpose-built rental projects that have come to completion. There was a project that completed in the first quarter in Oshawa that was leasing at like $260 a foot, which is, it's extremely high for that area. And we see new condo apartment projects that are coming up in Markham and Vaughan and Mississauga getting, above $250 a foot for the first time. And I think it's providing some signals, again, to the developers that it's starting to make a bit more sense to think about these markets in terms of new rental as opposed to condo in some cases. These markets seem to be doing very well within the smaller unit types. So these are markets that are catering to really a market that didn't see supply for several decades, and particularly supply catering to single persons. So these individuals that have been priced out of even the condo market in some cases are increasingly turning to rent, and we're noticing that the smaller units, even though they're located in suburban markets, are doing quite well on a per square foot basis. So the historical relationship between small unit size and high rent per square foot that was exhibited in Toronto is starting to play out in some of these suburban markets. Now, what's interesting is that in the city of Toronto, which is obviously a much more mature rental market than the 905, we're starting to see that the larger units are getting the higher rent per square foot. So we did an analysis of the entertainment district. So we pulled out all the leases that occurred in the first quarter in the entertainment district condo market and compared them to the first quarter of 2016. And while we saw that the smallest units were still getting premiums in terms of rents per square foot, we did notice that the two bedrooms and the two bedroom plus dens were seeing well above average growth. So 10, 12% year over year growth in rent whereas the one bedrooms were growing at about 8%. So the market is strong all around, but we have noticed that these larger units are getting increasingly higher rents per foot and growing at a faster pace than some of the smaller units. And I think that really goes back to what's happening in the ownership market. Not as many first-time buyers getting in. You know, in most cases, well-qualified buyers, but they're not finding what they're looking for, and increasingly turning to larger rental units. And we're seeing that this is playing out quite clearly in terms of the demand and supply dynamics in the marketplace.
Very interesting. So are you saying that if you're an investor looking to buy now, that the two bedroom units are potentially the play to make as opposed to the smaller units?
I think so. And I was actually surprised to see that some of the new projects that registered in the first quarter with smaller units didn't do as well as I thought they would. Whereas the larger units within these projects actually did better than expected. So there was a couple of projects such as Core Condominiums and Studio 2, which was in the entertainment district, which had fairly small unit sizes, but didn't achieve the rents that I expected. Now, these are initial rents, so they tend to rise after that sort of initial bulk of supply that comes into the market. But nonetheless, you know, they didn't see the same rates of rent that some of the previous projects that registered in these areas did achieve. So I was looking at some of the larger units within these buildings and I was thinking, wow, you know, they're actually getting higher rents in some cases than the smaller units. So it's an interesting dynamic that's starting to play out. And I think, yeah, looking at it as sort of an investment, the two bedroom units, which are in shorter supply, are probably going to be appreciating faster than the smaller suites, as I think just in general, the home ownership rates are going to start to flatline. And as the demographics continue to age, you're going to see increasing levels of demand for two-bedroom suites and people able to afford that levels, obviously.
Very interesting. Yeah, definitely a trend that we've been seeing as well and something to watch for. Sean, it's been great chatting with you as usual. Thank you very much for your time today and your insights. Really appreciate it. And once again, if people want to get a hold of you or learn more about Urbanation and the services that you offer, what's the best way to do that?
You can check out our website, urbanation.ca. We're actually going to be rolling out some new reports that are going to be of particular interest for investors. So in the coming weeks, if you visit the website, you'll be noticing a new portal where you can go and download individual market reports on each of the submarkets that we track across the GTA. So in a sort of 10-page report, you can get a full state of the nation of what's going on in that particular submarket and full data sets for, you know, new construction, resale, rental, and anything that's in the proposed pipeline as well. So I think it's a useful tool for anyone that's looking to invest in the market. And again, something that'll be offered very soon on the website for download.
Oh, that's great. Sounds excellent. We'll definitely watch for that. Okay. Thank you very much, Sean. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the True Condos Podcast. Remember, your positive reviews make a big difference to the show. To learn more about condo investing, become a True Condos subscriber by visiting truecondos.com.